بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، brothers and sisters in Islam, today we are starting another book, 40 hadith on the call to Islam and the caller by Sheikh Ali Hassan Abdul Hamid, حفظه الله تعالى. Hadith number one. And this was the custom, and it's the habit of all scholars and students of knowledge, when they compile, when they write a book, they emphasize and they make this hadith, hadith number one, or they begin their book with this hadith, which talks about the purity of the niyyah and the intention, which is the foundation of actions. Umar ibn al-Khattab, Amir al-Mu'mineen, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, said that Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ومن كانت هجرته إلى دنيا يصيبها أو إلى امرأة ينكحها فهجرته إلى ما هاجر إليه. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, actions are bought by intentions, and there is for every person only that which he intended. So he whose migration was for Allah and His Messenger, then his migration was for Allah and His Messenger. And he whose migration was to attain some worldly goal or to take a woman in marriage, then his migration was for that which he migrated. Reported by Bukhari and Muslim. And this hadith, according to the terminology of the scholars of hadith, is gharib, because it is reported only by Umar ibn Khattab. None of the Sahaba reported this hadith except Umar, so it is gharib and it is authentic, and the gharib is from the Ahada hadith, and also reported by also another tabi'i. So this hadith talks about the niyyah. And the niyyah by which you can reach the highest level in the Jannah, or by which you can reach the lower part or the lowest part of the hellfire. You can imagine. Your niyyah can place you on the top, in the highest level, highest rank in the Jannah, or can put you in the bottom of the hellfire. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as you know, in the hadith which is in Sahih Muslim, من سأل الله الشهادة بصدق بلغه الله منازل الشهداء وإن مات على فراشه. He who seeks martyrdom and asks Allah martyrdom, to die as a martyr, Allah will grant him martyrdom even if he dies on his bed. If he dies in his bed, he will be granted the shahada. So now the question, how can such a person achieve the shahada, martyrdom, when he dies at home? He dies in his bed, among his family, because of his noble intention. Another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, when they left Medina in one of the military expeditions, and there were many of the Sahaba, they were sick, and they were craving to participate. So he said, the Prophet ﷺ, to the Sahaba, by Allah, we did not climb any mountain or descent, or any valley that we crossed, except that there are brothers with us who will share and get the same reward as we get. Only they were held behind because of sickness. So the Prophet ﷺ basically is telling us that those Muslims who were sick, they are sharing the reward with us because of their intentions. Allah gives them the same reward the mujahid gets, but because of their niyyah. Are you following me, brothers and sisters? Also, the Prophet ﷺ said in another hadith, which is in Bukhari and Muslim, he said, a man, Allah gave him wealth, and he spent all that fi sabilillah. So another one happened to be very poor, but pious. He said, O Allah, had you given me the same as this person, I would have done the same. So the Prophet ﷺ said, they will achieve the same reward. They will get the same exact reward. The one who got the money and the well-off, the one who was building masjids, hospitals, etc., and the poor fellow. The poor fellow will get the same thing. How? Because of his niyyah, because of his intention. Then he said also, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and another person Allah gave him and granted him wealth, but he wasted this wealth and spent it in committing haram, in sinfulness. And another person envied him and said, oh Allah, had you given me the same as you gave him, I would have done the same thing. So the Prophet ﷺ said, they will receive the same punishment. They will receive the same punishment. Though that poor fellow, just because of his niyyah, he didn't commit zina, he didn't drink alcohol, but because of his intention, he will receive the same punishment. Is this clear to all of you? You can see by your niyyah, by your intention, you can go to the highest level in the Jannah, or you can go to the lower part of the hellfire. So it's up to you to choose. Because some people, they are under the impression that things that are in our minds that we didn't do, we will not be held accountable for that. No, we will be held accountable for that. So if you are indulged into fantasy, stop it. Another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, when he said, إِذَا الْتَقَى الْمُسْلِمَانِ بِسَيْفَيْهِمَا فَالْقَاتِلْ وَالْمَقْتُولْ فِي النَّارِ. When two Muslims fight one another, and they meet one another in the battlefield, both the murdered and the murderer, the one who was killed and the killer, both of them are in the hellfire. قَالُوا هَذَا الْقَاتِلُ فَمَا بَالِ الْمَقْتُولِ. Said, O Prophet of Allah, we can understand that the murderer should go to hell, but how about the murdered one? He said, كان حريصا على قتل أخيه. He was keen to kill his brother, but he didn't get the chance. He was keen. His intention was to kill his brother, but he didn't get the chance. So Allah puts him in the hellfire because of his intention, because of his niyyah. Is this clear to everyone? So we will be punished for our niyyah. And the hadith that says, when a person intends to do a sin, Allah says to the angels, don't write it till he does it. And if he refrains from doing it, write for him a hasana, good deed, instead of evil deed. That hadith talks about these devilish thoughts that cross our minds. Sometimes you have a devilish thought and evil thoughts, they cross your mind. The shaitan puts these thoughts, but you try to wipe them, you try to get rid of them, and you seek Allah's protection. These things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not question us and will not hold us accountable for these devilish thoughts which cross our minds from time to time against our will. Or if a person is heading to commit a sin and in his way he remembered and he said, Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Where am I heading to? Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Oh Allah, forgive me. Though he was determined to commit the sin, so Allah says, since he refrained from doing it, so write for him a good deed instead of that. But a person who is heading, he's going to a brothel, to a prostitute, and he determined and made up his mind to commit zina. But when he reached there, he didn't find the prostitute. Though he didn't commit zina, but Allah says to the angels, write it for him. Write that he committed the zina. Why? Because he made up his mind. Are you following? Is this clear to everyone? That's why Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, if you are sipping water, drinking water, you are sipping water or any drink, and you are fantasizing and imagining it that you are sipping alcohol, it becomes haram. Because you are fantasizing and imagining the water alcohol. So you can see, brothers and sisters, by your niyyah, you can reach the Firdaus, and by your niyyah, you can go to the lowest part of the hellfire. If this person, when he reaches the place of the prostitute, and the prostitute is there, he remembered Allah, and he said, A'udhu billahi min shaitan ar-rajim. Oh Allah, save me. Forgive me. And he left the place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to the angels, this person, he left committing the sin because he fears me. Write for him a hasana. Write for him a good deed. So that's why the niyyah is the most important thing. That's why we need to work hard all the time to rectify our intentions. A small thing, you do it for the sake of Allah, purely for the sake of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplies it, because Allah loves it. Because He knows that this has been done for Him. And for only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many deeds, Allah will not accept them. Because you didn't do them for Allah Azza wa Jal. Ibn Mas'ud said, if I know for surety that two rak'ahs Allah accepted from me, I would have relaxed. Because Allah إنما يتقبل الله من المتقين. Verily Allah accepts only from the righteous. So no wonder the scholars always will begin their books with this hadith, to draw the attention of the reader and the students of knowledge that you need to rectify your intention. So here the Prophet ﷺ said, and this is known hadith, hadith Muhajir Ummu Qais. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, which means, this whenever you find this إِنَّمَا, it denotes and indicates limitation. What does it mean? It limits, it confines. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. That means, verily, actions will be judged according to the intentions. In other words, the intention, the actions of every Muslim should be motivated by noble intentions, and for every action you should have niyyah. For everything you do, you should have niyyah. The food you eat, you should have niyyah. Your intention when you are eating? Oh, I eat to gain strength to worship Allah. So while you are eating, you are getting hasanat. While you are eating, you are getting hasanat. Because of your niyyah. That you eat to gain strength to worship Allah. You drink to quench your thirst also to worship Allah. Say, Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, Bismillah, Alhamdulillah. So you get hasanat. You sleep to gain strength so that you worship Allah. You get hasanat. You sleep with your wife to save yourself from zina and to save your wife from the zina, you get hasanat. So for everything you do, you should have niyyah. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, حَتَّى اللُّقْمَ يَضَعْهَا الرَّجُلُ فِي إِمْرَأَتَهُ يُؤْجَرْ عَلَيْهَا. Can you imagine? You are eating with your wife and you are feeding her. For every morsel you put in her mouth, you get hasanat. Because of the niyyah. So you can see we can transform all our deeds, normal deeds, normal actions into good deeds, and we'll get hasanat. Because the deeds will be judged according to the intentions, our intention. Is this clear to everyone? إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. So verily and most certainly, deeds, actions will be judged according to the intentions. What is the intention behind it? Is it for Allah or is it for showing off? وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ. See, إِنَّمَا, always keep it, underline it. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. That deeds will be judged according to the intention. That's why in the hadith, a person went out for jihad. His intention is only the booty. So the Prophet ﷺ said, he will not get anything out of the jihad except the what he intended. He intended to gain, to have the booty, he will get only the booty. That's it. Whatever you intended. وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. And most certainly, for every person, only that which he intended. Only that. Only that which you intended. You intended this, you'll get it. That's why the scholars, when reading their biographies, when they went to the Hajj, many of them once said, oh Allah, give me an equivalent, give me knowledge more, as much as the knowledge of so and so. The knowledge of so and so. And Allah gave them. Because Zamzam lima shuribala. Zamzam lima shuribala. When you drink Zamzam, Allah will give you whatever you intended. You want a wife? You want a husband? You want money? Whatever you wanted. فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ So he, whose migration was for Allah and His Messenger, because first of all, migration from Mecca to Medina was fard in the beginning. Because Mecca was the land of kufr, dominated by the kuffar. So it was incumbent upon every Muslim to migrate from Mecca to Medina, the land of Islam. So if your hijrah for Allah's deen, some people maybe they nowadays make hijrah. But is it for Allah or is it because he got a better offer? Good job. Good job, he got somewhere. So he's, okay, as well I make hijrah. So Allah knows what is there in your heart. So then otherwise you'll be just like the man who migrated from Mecca to Medina, the immigrant of Umm Qais. So when you make hijrah, it is for Allah. And Allah only. That should be the niyyah. The niyyah should be for Allah's sake. So if your intention, your niyyah, is for Allah and His Messenger, fine. Then it will be for Allah and His Messenger, and you will get the reward that Allah ordained for you. وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى الدُّنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا He's making hijrah only for dunya. He got a nice job, good offer somewhere in Saudi Arabia, whatever, Gulf countries. So, okay, now we are making hijrah. You are deceiving yourself. You are not making hijrah. So it's better that you rectify your niyyah now. You rectify your intention. Because Allah knows actually your motive and knows what is there in your heart. So it's better for you that you rectify your intention in order to get the reward. وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى الدُّنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا And he whose migration was to attain some worldly benefit, worldly goal, أَوْ إِلَى امْرَأَةٍ يَنْكِحُهَا هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَهَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ Either he migrated for mundane gains, worldly gains, or to take a woman in marriage as the story of this hadith, because there's a man who migrated his wife. She told him, if you want me to marry you, you have to migrate. And she was known as Umm Qais, and he migrated for that. So the Sahaba, they used to call him Muhajir Umm Qais. You didn't migrate for Allah, you migrate only for Umm Qais. Or to take a woman in marriage, then his migration was for that which he migrated. So this hadith is very essential, very important. We need to always, constantly check our intentions and keep rectifying them. It is a continuous process. Don't say, okay, my intention is okay today. No, it is a continuous process. Always keep looking into your heart, keep rectifying your intention. Maybe you are doing it purely now, your intention is okay. Few hours later, the intention changed. So that's why you have to keep checking your intention, rectify it, checking and rectify. May Allah grant us sincere niyyah, intention. Is this clear to everyone? Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah commenting on this hadith, he said, this hadith is one-third of the knowledge, thuluth al-ilm, one-third of the ilm, the knowledge. And it is used in 70 chapters or 70 branches of the fiqh. He said this hadith can be applied in 70 different places in the fiqh. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal said, the fundamentals of Islam are based upon three ahadith. He said, most of the teachings of Islam are based on three ahadith. Hadith number one, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, actions are but by intentions, this one. Second hadith, he said, the halal is clear and the haram is clear. This is the second fundamental, the second hadith. And the third hadith, whoever innovates anything in our matter, it will not be accepted from him. So this, he said, the fundamentals of Islam are based on these three ahadith. Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah ta'ala. Hadith number two. Is hadith number one clear to everyone before we start hadith number two? Okay. Hadith number two, the humiliation of the Muslims. Okay. This hadith was said 1400 years ago, and we feel it today. We are humiliated. So this should strengthen our iman, that whatever Prophet Muhammad said, it's going to happen. He told us that we will be humiliated. Fine. And he told us we're going to be victorious. So there's no difference. We can see the humiliation. And if we rectify ourselves, we can see the victory as well. So we need to turn to Allah. Because whatever came from the mouth of the Prophet ﷺ is going to pass. It's going to happen. From Ibn Umar, رضي الله تعالى عنهما, who said that Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إِذَا تَبَايَعْتُمْ بِالْعِينَةِ وَأَخَذْتُمْ أَذْنَابَ الْبَقَرِ وَرَضِيتُمْ بِالزَّرْعِ وَتَرَكْتُمُ الْجِهَادَ سَلَّطَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ ذُلًّا لا ينزعه حتى ترجعوا إلى دينكم. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, when you take part in عينة transactions, take hold of the tails of the cows, become satisfied with cultivation and abandon jihad, Allah will send humiliation upon you. And He will not remove it until you return to your deen. Voted by Abu Dawood, Bayhaqi, and it is authentic hadith. Now this hadith, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم here, he prophesied and he foretold us what's going to happen. And he diagnosed the sickness. He diagnosed it. And he told us the reasons why we are going to be humiliated. And yet also in the same hadith, and at the same time, he gave us the cure and the remedy. The remedy and the cure in the same hadith. So he said, إِذَا تَبَايَعْتُمْ بِالْعِينَةِ, when you deal with عِينَةِ, in a transaction, which is a transaction that involves riba. Like what? Like the following. The ina transaction, in particular, it's formed like this. Let's say that I want someone to lend me money. So I came to a person, I told him, I need you to lend me some money, to borrow some money from you. He said, well, I don't have cash. I don't have cash. But you know something? He's selling cars. So he's a car dealer. He said, you know this car? It's worth let's say, 20,000 pounds. I'm going to sell it to you on installments. And then you can take the car and sell it to anyone, and you can have the cash. Because I am in need, I said, fine. So he sold the car to me. So he sold the car to me with, we made the deal, 20,000 pounds on installments basis. After we finished and signed the deal, he told me, well, you know, I want to do you a favor. Instead of you going searching for buyers, why don't you sell why don't you sell it to me? I can buy it from you now, and I will give you cash. And I will buy it for 15,000 pounds. He sold it 20,000, so he's now buying it 15,000 pounds cash. Because I am in need, I said, okay, fine. So the car didn't leave his showroom. Still there. So he sold it, first of all, to me, 20,000. Then he bought it, 15,000. So he made, apparently, a profit, 55,000 pounds. But it's not a profit. It is riba. It is just like what? Like he lent me 15,000 pounds, and he got 20,000 pounds. But had he done this from the beginning clearly, it is clear riba, known. I would say, no, it is riba. But what he did, he made a trick. So he made it look like it is buying and selling. He made it look like buying and selling. But in reality, it is riba. And this is the Ina transaction. This is Ina transaction. Selling the same commodity, the same merchandise. You sell it with one price and then you bought it again at lower price. Exploiting the need of the borrower. Is this clear to everyone? Muslims nowadays, they deal with this Ina transaction. They deal with the riba. So the Prophet ﷺ is saying in this hadith, إِذَا تَبَايَعْتُمْ بِالْعِينَ. When you take part in عِينَ transactions. This is number one. What else? وَأَخَذْتُمْ أَذْنَابَ الْبَقَرِ. And you take hold of the tails of the cows. In olden days, we plow the land with the oxen. Even today, still in some countries, villages, they don't have tractors. They're using the oxen to plow their land. So the one who is behind the ox plowing the land, he's at the tail of the cow or the ox. We use ox, the oxen, they use the oxen, they don't use the cows. That means agriculture. So he's saying, وَخَدْتُمْ أَذْنَابَ الْبَقَرِ. That means you are content, now you are plowing your lands and you are happy with agriculture. Take hold of the tails of the cows. خَدْتُمْ أَذْنَابَ الْبَقَرِ. You know that Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, who is buried at the walls of Constantinople during the reign of Uthman, when the Muslims went to open Constantinople. And one of the Muslims, because of the protection and the strong walls, the attempts failed. So one of the Muslims, he attacked the kuffar, the Romans. And some Muslims said, oh, they quoted the ayah, وَلَا تُلْقُوا بَأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. Do not throw yourselves into ruin or destruction. Don't expose yourself to destruction, annihilation. Abu Ayyub al-Ansari said, oh people, you are misquoting, you are misunderstanding the meaning of this ayah. This ayah was revealed regarding us, the Ansar. We, the Ansar, helped the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during his mission. Then when we saw that the Muslims and all the tribes of the Arabs started accepting Islam, the Ansar said, now we supported Islam, we helped the Prophet, and now other tribes also can do the same thing. So let us sit in Medina and repair our farms and look after our business. So Allah rebuked us and revealed this ayah regarding the us, that if we stay in our farms and leave the jihad, that is the real destruction. That's the real ruin. So that's the meaning of the ayah. So staying behind and being content with the dunya, that is the real destruction and ruin, and that will bring upon us the humiliation. And because we left, because of this, we are humiliated nowadays. وَخَتَّمَ ذْنَابَ الْبَقَرِ. You take hold of the tails of the cows. وَرَضِيتُمْ بِالزَّرْعِ. Become content, happy, satisfied with agriculture. وَتَرَكْتُمُ الْجِهَادَ. And abandoned jihad. All these things we did. The Ummah did all these things. And we are still doing them. Jihad is deserted, abandoned. Then what will happen? What will be the consequence? سَلَّطَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ ذُلَّا. The result, the fruit, which you are going to reap, Allah will send a humiliation. And this humiliation, sallata, it will dominate. The humiliation will be dominating you. You cannot get rid of it. The humiliation will be encompassing you. Oh Muslims, wherever you go, humiliation is spread over them. They are encompassed by the humiliation. Wherever you go, Allah will send humiliation. صَلَّطَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ ذُلَّا. Allah will send humiliation upon you. لَا يَنْزِعْهُ. He will never remove it. This humiliation will never be lifted. Unless and until. Until tarji'u, you go back to where? Ila deenikum, till you go to your deen. What does this mean? That means when all these things are happening to you, when you are doing all these things, and this humiliation is happening to you, or has happened to you, because you have left your deen. You have left your deen. So go back to your deen. What is it? Don't deal in riba. Are you following or not? Go back to your deen. Don't deal with riba. Don't be content with the dunya. Don't leave the jihad. This is your deen. Go back to it. Then the humiliation will be lifted. Very simple formula. Very simple formula. Go back to your deen. Become true Muslims, implement Islam in your life, this humiliation will be lifted. The humiliation will not be lifted by slogans, by chanting, by participating in parliaments. Humiliation will not be lifted. Humiliation will be lifted only when we go to our deen, when we go to our roots, when we abide to the kitab and sunnah, and hold the kitab and sunnah, as he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bite to the robe of Allah by your molar teeth, then and only then, the humiliation will be lifted. Humiliation will not be lifted by throwing ourselves into the laps of our enemies. What the Muslims are doing nowadays, they are throwing, jumping into the laps of the kuffar, begging them, praising them, seeking their help. That will only intensify and bring more humiliation. Humiliation on top of another humiliation. Because we seek the protection and we seek dignity and we seek honor from the kuffar. And Allah says, وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةِ الْعِزَّةِ dignity, honor, might, strength. Where did we fetch it? Where do we seek it? وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةِ all izzah belongs to Allah. Belongs to Al-Aziz. In another place he says, أَتَبْتَغُونَ عِنْدَهُمْ الْعِزَّةِ are you looking for sovereignty and dignity and honor and power and might from the kuffar? Shame on you. وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةِ الْعِزَّةِ belongs exclusively to Allah. وَلِرَسُولِهِ the izzah belongs to his Rasul, his messenger. وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ the true believers. وَلَا تَهِنُوا do not feel weak. وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا do not feel weak. Neither feel weak nor grieve. وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ and you're going to have the upper hand. You'll be victorious over your enemies. وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ but when? إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ we are true believers. We are true mu'mins. So the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, he mentions all the symptoms. He diagnosed the sickness. And then he prescribed the medicine. And he gave the medicine. The medicine is very simple. Going back to the deen. Going back to the deen. Practicing Islam, praying, fasting, abiding to the sunnah, loving the sunnah, following the sunnah, wearing hijab, growing beards, leaving riba. That is going back to the deen. Allah promised that this deen is going to supersede with us or without us. Allah will substitute us with better people. Better than us. Better than us. But true believers, true mu'mins, who fear only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us face this, brothers and sisters. The majority of us nowadays, they fear the kuffar more than they fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They fear the kuffar more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gave us the guarantee in Surah Ali Imran. He said, وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا, if you are patient, forbearing, وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا, that's number one. Allah wants from us sabr. وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا, sabr and taqwa. If you are patient and pious, righteous. Two qualities Allah demands from us. Sabr, patience, and taqwa, piety. إِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ كَيْدُهُمْ شَيْئًا. Their kaid, their plottings, their plots, their plans will never harm you a thing. An oath. All their plans, all their plots, they will never harm you. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of the planners. They plan Allah, and Allah plans. And Allah is the best of the planners. And all their planning will backfire, will fall on them. But do we have these two qualities as Muslim Ummah? Do we have sabr? And do we have taqwa? These two missing ingredients. The Ummah lack them. No patience, no sabr. Though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, اصبروا وصابروا. Oh, you who believe, اصبروا, be patient. وصابروا, and beat your enemies in sabr. اصبروا وصابر. اصبروا, be patient. وصابروا, and you should have more sabr than your enemies. You should beat them in the sabr. That we should have more long breath. We should have long breath. And we should beat them in sabr. Our sabr, our patience should be more than their patience. That's what Allah is saying. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu sabiru wa sabiru. Jazakallah khair. Abu Salih, he reminded me something here. Antar is one of the heroes of the Arabs before Islam. Antar bin Shaddad. Like there is a story, Antar, Abla, Romeo and Juliet, or Juliet, whatever. Something story like that. So this guy, Antar, was a hero. And one day a man, ordinary man, asked him, Oh, Antar, Romeo and Juliet. So he said, Tell me, how do you defeat the knights? How do you kill the people? People, they are afraid of you. He told him, fine, you want to know how I defeat the knights, the fighters? He said, yes. He said, I'm going to bite your finger and you bite my finger. He said, okay. So they started biting the fingers of one another. Then the man started to cry, screaming. So Antar stopped biting him. He said, this is how I beat the men. By patience. Had you, he said, Antar, waited little bit, I would have cried. I would have screamed. But you didn't wait. You didn't wait. Don't you think the enemies of Islam, they don't feel what we feel? Yes, they feel. They are human beings. But Allah is saying that we should have more sabr.
Our sabr should be more than the patience and the sabr of our enemies. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اصبروا وصابروا. So our sabr should be more than the sabr
Yes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, إِن كُنْ تَكُونُوا تَأْلَمُونَ فَأَنُمْ يَأْلَمُونَ كَمَا تَأْلَمُونَ
When you feel pain, they feel pain. You suffer, they suffer. They're human beings like you. Don't think that your bullet will not go through his body. No. The bodies are not bullets, proof. So this is what Allah wants from us Muslims. So let us work in ourselves, in our hearts. Let us face the reality. Let us become true Muslims. Let us actualize the sabr and the taqwa in our life. Then and only then, what Allah promised is going to happen. May Allah unite our hearts upon the truth and strengthen our iman and your iman. May Allah protect all Muslims and save all Muslims. Ameen. May Allah reward all of you, brothers and sisters, for your patience and attendance. Barakallahu feekum. جزاكم الله خيرا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته